Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, make these words to be your words and not my own, and open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It was January 25th, 2020, a Saturday, and before COVID, and also happened to be my wife's 24th birthday. My wife loves brunch food, so we went to this brunch place called The Shack for breakfast. If you haven't been, there's a couple of them in the area. Very tasty food. You should go. But anyway, we go and we go to our booth and sit down. The waitress comes by to ask what we'd like to drink. And we order our drinks. And then also, me being a husband who enjoys embarrassing his wife on occasion, especially her birthday, I make sure to tell the waitress that it's her birthday. A few moments later, the waitress returns with our drinks and a birthday crown. It says, Shacky birthday, happy bacon on it. Brittany took it and she plopped it on her head, and we continued through the morning celebrating her birthday and with the crown and everything. Today in our Bible passage, we hear about another crown. A very different crown than a birthday crown. We hear about the crown of life. What exactly is this crown of life? I don't think it's a physical object like the 10 pounds of solid gold bejeweled crowns that kings of old used to wear. No, I don't think it's a physical object, but rather the idea of having life placed upon us. Whatever this crown of life is, it certainly marks us as princes and princesses of the kingdom of God. There's this show on Netflix called The Crown. I know, fitting. And it's about Queen Elizabeth and how she became queen and then all of the things that happened after, all the different drama and stuff. They talk a lot about a crown in that show, but it's more than the physical crown. It's the idea of the crown of England and how Queen Elizabeth is in that office, kind of like the office of the president. But even more than that, she lives under the crown. All of her decisions are based on what's best for the crown. Queen Elizabeth lives under the crown of England, and you and I are called to live under the crown of life. And one day we will fully and completely receive that glorious crown of life in the presence of Jesus. But before either of those things can happen, we need another crown. We need the crown of thorns. Bloodied, piercing, suffering, painful crown of thorns. Because only the crown of thorns can keep us steadfast in our trials and temptations. Only the crown of thorns can keep us steadfast in those temptations that come to us because of our desires, even our good desires. Like when we desire for the nation and world around us to be more Christian, but we are tempted, and in that desire, we are tempted to ignore our responsibilities in the church, to ignore loving our neighbor and caring for our neighbor like Christ would, and rather just focus on politics. Or the desire for love, which is a good desire, could lead to temptations to do disgusting and inappropriate things to fulfill that desire, even though we know it won't actually fulfill it. Or the desire for more likes and shares on Facebook or Instagram could lead to temptations to post things that are edgy, conflicting, painful, unchristian, just to make those likes happen. And how often do we actually give in to those temptations? So that's why we need the crown of thorns. Because the crown of thorns was worn by Jesus. And Jesus, in his steadfast love for us, took our failures to remain steadfast in temptations, took that from us and placed it on himself. And more than that, he took death, which you and I deserve because we're not good enough, because we fail. He took that too. And Jesus suffered the crown of thorns and in so many other ways. And Jesus died He died for you. He died for me. Jesus died for us. But wait, there's more. Of course there's no more. We know there is more. It may be the beginning of Lent right now, but we know what's to come. We know what that light at the end of the tunnel is. Easter, Jesus burst from the tomb, throws aside the crown of thorns and everything it represents, obliterating it, destroying our failures, destroying death for himself and for you and me too. And that crown of thorns is replaced with the crown of life for Jesus and for me and for you too. Revelation 2:10b says, "Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." This happens to be my confirmation verse. And just a few weeks before my confirmation, my grandpa actually ended up passing away. So as my family and I were grieving the death of my grandpa, going to his funeral, I was also trying to decide what confirmation verse I should have. And this is the one that stuck out to me because it reminded me of my grandpa. I was confident that he was faithful to the point of death, and that the steadfast love of Christ for him allowed him to live under the crown of life, and that now he is in glory with Jesus, in paradise with Christ, wearing that crown of life fully and completely. The steadfast love that Jesus has for my grandpa, he has for you and me too. So let's be people who live under the crown of life now while we await that day when we receive the crown of life fully and completely in paradise with Christ. Be people who live under the crown of life. What do you think that looks like? What do you think people that see us living under the crown of life will see? I can imagine. I can imagine they'd see pastors and deaconesses and future church workers who are uncool. A few weeks ago, I saw this post on Instagram by John Cooper, who happens to be a member of the band Skillet. And he, in this post, was talking about celebrity pastors and how they need to be uncool because they're all about making their brand and stuff like that, and that's not good, and that's not the right thing to do. But he also talks about what it means to be an uncool pastor. And I think these words really struck me as to what it means to live under the crown of life as pastors, deaconesses, church workers. He says this: "My pastor helped change my life in college." Really? Who? Exactly. He remains faceless, nameless, and will never get the adoration of the world because his desire was for Jesus to have all of the glory. He taught me how to read and understand the Bible. He took my midnight phone calls. He instigated the necessary but uncomfortable conversations. He taught me the importance of sexual purity, and he even taught me how to paint a house and balance a checkbook. It almost sounds more like being a father, doesn't it? Working, serving, teaching your kids, and never expecting a thank you or a hand clap is what pastoring is all about. Imagine that people who live under the crown of life are pastors and deaconesses and church workers who are uncool. Also, imagine that people who live under the crown of life are people that want to make an impact in the world by loving the world, by loving their neighbor, by following Jesus more closely. Maybe this looks like being pro-life from the moment of conception through death. That means when there's an unwanted pregnancy, we come alongside someone and encourage them not to have an abortion, help them make the decision to not get an abortion, but then continue to be in their life, continue to love them throughout the pregnancy as they have the baby and decide to maybe give it up for adoption or keep it. And everything beyond that as well, as the baby is raised too. Pro-life from the moment of conception to the moment of death. Imagine that that's what people who live under the crown of life do. Today we heard about two different crowns. The crown of thorns, bloodied, piercing, painful, and the crown of life. Because of the crown of thorns, we're going to be granted the crown of life one day, and now we are called to live under the crown of life in our daily lives. So be people who live under the crown of life, because we belong to the King, because we are princes and princesses of the kingdom of God, because we belong to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise as we sing our hymn.